¡Órale!
¡Sí, señor!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP Podcast. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin, and I am joined by my primos. Plus, today it's four primos. Fearsome foursome. Ricky Torres, Hector is, and making his return engagement, Nico, cousin Nico Gutierrez.
Hello.
Yeah, baby, yeah. Gracias, everybody, for joining us. Como siempre, estamos aquí a servirlos. Make sure you're checking out our original content on FamiliaFFP.com, as well as our social media channels, at FamiliaFFP on Twitter and Instagram, and our FamiliaFFP Facebook page. Well, you guys remember, you know, a few days ago, we talked about the Diablo talk. Well, Nico was the originator of that discussion, so... I went back to my mom and I was like, where did that, you know, where did the name Diablo come from? And she said, awesome.
For the hand truck, right?
Yeah.
For the dolly. Yeah.
Yeah. We all decided that the Diablo is much better than Dolly.
Right.
As a nickname for that. But she said that es porque eso se mete en todo. The Diablo gets into everything. So.
Well, it was bright red too. Do you remember that? It was
Yeah, mine's bright red too. Yeah, exactly. They usually are bright red. Interesting.
Yeah, but I Nico, remember there were many a time that Abuelita, you know, chewed us out for playing on that thing, saying that we're going to break our heads open.
That was old school. One guy, you know, one guy would stand on the Diablo, and one guy would push him. That was fun. You know, that was before Xbox and PlayStation.
Yeah, I was about to say, that was my Sony PlayStation.
Or Atari. That was like, that's what kids used to do back in the old days. One guy would stand on the dolly and the other guy would push him. That was fun.
That was before helmets.
That was fun.
That was probably why helmets are necessary now.
Yeah, exactly.
That was right up there with ball and cup. Yeah.
That and fireworks, letting little kids play with. You know, I remember we used to play with WD-40 and spray tennis balls and light them on fire and kick them around. I mean, raise your hand if you did that out there in Familia Land.
Oh, God, that's right.
We used to put gasoline in cans.
Do not try this. Do not try this at home. Do not. That's a disclaimer. Don't do that. But yeah, when we were kids, we would do that. We would go in the garage. My dad's WD-40 can. We would spray tennis balls, soak up tennis balls. A cigarette lighter out and just light it on fire. We'd kick it around like a soccer ball, like this flaming ball all around the driveway. That's what was fun back in the days.
Yeah, we used to put it in the tennis cans. We duct taped them together and do a cannon, and you know. But yep. we were 12 years old. You know what?
Yeah, we were the firecracker. Yes, you're exactly. Make a Ricky, cannon.
Ricky, you know who was one of the originators of that? Your
I'm
dad.
See my dad.
Yep.
That was
and then,
your
then he became a cop.
Yeah, make a bazooka out of tennis ball cans. Yeah, good times.
That was fantastic. Ay, mijo.
That was the fire department calling. They just want to know our names and our addresses so they can
they're just checking to make sure we're still not doing that anymore.
Exactly.
You guys aren't doing that anymore, right?
Public service announcement. Kids, don't do this at home, okay?
Do not do that at home.
We got enough sheriffs on our side to get us out of trouble with the fire department. So that's a good thing. Shout out to the firemen and the sheriffs.
All the first responders
the
out there. Yes, sir.
Everybody out there. We love you guys. We love you. We love you all, and men and ladies that are all doing this for
that's
us.
Right.
Hey, you want to get into some cheeseman?
Cheeseman!
So apparently, so... Catching everybody up, a couple extra players have tested positive with the Tennessee Titans for the COVID-19. One of the most prominent players being Corey Davis, the former number one pick. And he's now on the COVID list. So I think it's up to 11 players who have tested positive and several, I think it's up to 20 people, including the personnel staff.
Wow.
You know, the game is still on. The game with them and the Buffalo Bills, we're going to preview it a little bit later in this episode. But they're conducting investigations because apparently players held their own informal workouts. I don't know if they held it in a parque or something like that, but they held their own workouts. So the NFL may be doing a little cracking down on them for breaking protocol.
Yeah, there's going to be if the coaches got big fines for not wearing a mask on the sideline, this is just going to be like out of control fines
and,
right here.
And if they test them tomorrow and we get a bunch more positives, oh my goodness, it just means we're going to get even more on Friday. So yeah, week 18, maybe we'll see.
And that's one of the things we were talking about before the episode, the Titans have already used up their bye in week four. So if for some reason week five is in jeopardy, one of the options is going to have to be that this game with the Buffalo Bills being played in week 18, because this is our two teams that are going to be fighting for first place in their respective divisions. So
Think about this, Georgie. They'd have to play 13 games straight.
Yep.
To finish out the season. It's like, wow, that's asking a lot. And if they don't get a first round bye in the playoffs, you think they could play 16 games, basically a whole season with no bye?
No way.
In the Super Bowl. So
no way. I mean, think of the injuries. Just think of the kinds of injuries that guys are going to start developing after, 13 weeks in a row, 14 weeks in a row, 15 weeks in a row of playing. All kinds of guys are going to start getting hurt. Just wear and tear injuries. You're going to start seeing that. You're going to start seeing a lot of that. So yeah, I don't know if that's a good idea. Physically as a human person, that's not a good idea to as a human being to do that. So I mean, we're going to start seeing it. It's going to be bad, I think.
Maybe you see like a pitch count. That's all.
Yeah,
well, they're already starting out hurt. I mean, look at the season starting out. Like,
right, exactly.
You lose all your best players. It's like, Jesus, this is a mess.
Yeah. I think the one thing is, tomorrow morning at 6:30 in the morning, I'm going to be checking Twitter to see, because usually the positive tests come out at 9:30 in the morning on the East Coast. So that's when we'll find out about this kind of thing. So we'll be checking it out. We'll be retweeting and doing all that kind of thing just to
everyone's going to be looking at it tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll get more updates in the Friday edition of this episode. So
they're going to say Mahomes have it. That's what it is.
God, please, no. Light a veladora, everybody. Light a veladora, familia. Holy water. So we don't get any more.
Sprinkle the holy water.
So exactly. Another COVID positive was Stephon Gilmore, the defensive player of the year last year. He tested positive. He's the I believe it's the second Patriots player, and he played on Monday night. So played well.
And I saw a bunch of pictures with him hugging Mahomes. So we'll see.
Ouch!
Oh goodness!
Yeah, the old slogan is just stay positive. Now it's going to be just stay negative.
Just stay away. Just stay away.
Stay negative.
Please
stay
away.
Be negative.
Let's
have a negative attitude. Negative attitude. You guys are going to be healthy. It's good.
That's it. Yeah.
Right.
This year is sub bizarro, so we got to start doing the opposite.
Yeah. Be negative.
So onto the practice field, Julio Jones did not practice. We'll be getting into some of the players who did and did not practice. The coach Dan Quinn did not sound optimistic about Jones playing. And, this will be two games missed in 3 weeks, and he didn't play a lot this week. It looks like he aggravated it during Monday night's game. So esto duele. I mean, Julio Jones was a first-round pick for so many people. So,
oh, yeah.
I don't
know. Yes. Second round, but, I mean, we all knew that. That's why he went so far back. I don't know. I feel like you should have expected this. You should have Gage or Ridley as your backup, because this team's going to be explosive regardless if Jones is in or not. But he was one of the main beneficiaries of it.
Yep. And they're still going to score a ton, but I mean, they obviously, I mean, it's Carolina at Atlanta. Both, both defenses are not very good. If you're, you still expect Matty Ice to Mateo Yello to have a good game, but it's going to be tougher without Julio in the lineup.
For sure.
Lev Bell may be on the way to coming back. That hamstring that knocked him out after week one, that sent him to the IR. It looks like they put him back into the practice window, so he could be he could play this week, or it could be up to 3 weeks before he gets back to the active roster. Is he a recommendation, guys?
No, come on. Is he playing behind Flacco? Heck no. This team's horrible. I don't know who's been a fan. Who have you seen? You're like, ooh, pick this guy up before they play.
Nadia.
That's on the Jets. Nobody. Love Bell hasn't been good for years. So it's like, let's just keep with the trend.
And, we could talk about this later, but Sam Darnold has already been ruled out for this game. So it's Joe Flacco, and he's having problems with his shoulder. I mean, the thing is, this could end up being something. This could be a very interesting thing for the Jets. They used, you know, the number three overall pick 3 years ago on Sam Darnold. And if they end up with the number one pick again, because staring at Trevor Lawrence, do you walk away from Sam Darnold?
Yes.
Or trade him and then
that's why they made the whole contract deal, why the rookies shouldn't get paid these huge deals anymore when they're, you know, in the top five or whatever. And it's a Darnold. Look at Darnold. He just hasn't been the top material. Of course, they skip on him if he doesn't do it this year. And Flacco, if he can be somewhat serviceable. I say what? This week, no matter what, the Cardinals are hungry. Stay away from the Jets. I think no matter what, they're not going to be good. The Cardinals got killed last week. They're going to be hungry, and the Jets are just the perfect team to feast on.
Yep. Well, we'll be talking about feasting on the Jets very soon.
Every week.
The Washington football team has announced that Dwayne Haskins is going to get sat down for Kyle Allen.
Wow.
So, I mean, we were at that movie last year with Kyle
Allen.
With the same coach. And for some reason, he's bringing him back. And I wonder if that actually had a reason. It was part of the reason why he got fired. And now he's going to be the starting quarterback for the foreseeable future. Haskins is going to third string.
Wow.
Alex Smith is the backup. Wow. I mean, this is a first round pick, and a year and a half later, he's benched.
Well, when he was drafted, weren't there some big question marks around him? Like why'd they draft him? And
well, it was because the owner wanted him.
Right.
And now he's sitting down.
And yeah. So you know what? I don't care that my general manager like does this for a living. I'm the owner and I want that guy. Like, no, it generally will not work out when that happens.
It doesn't usually. So
Allen last year made DJ Moore look good. So I'm excited for Scary Terry.
That he's the only guy who made him look good because he threw plenty of intercepts. Well, he made him.
And just so everyone knows out there, Kyle Allen was on the Panthers last year.
who were the backups on the quarterbacks?
Alex Smith.
Yeah, now Alex Smith, dude, if he were to come back, I mean, they kind of brought him on as a courtesy, but they were surprised he played okay. Put him in a third string, figure they can get rid of him later. But what an daytime movie special that would be if he came back. Right? Oh my God, started to do it, and then
it's only because he's like 4 years younger than you.
Yeah, you know what? That's okay.
But you know, the interesting thing is Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes credited him with being someone who did a great job of mentoring Mahomes during his rookie year. So he big brothered him and Mahomes.
Hope he charged him like an hourly wage. Like, yeah. Hey man, remember all that mentoring I did for you? That's like $100 an hour.
Buy me like a restaurant or something.
Now that you have $500 million, remember all that mentoring? Like, here's my bill. Like,
buy him an island. Buy him an island like in the Galapagos or someone in Argentina or something like that. So, I mean, we'll get into this when we talk about the Washington Rams game. So that's going to be interesting if, Kyle Allen, if he's going to be serving up some interceptions. But, one more report. A Raider player apparently has tested positive for COVID-19.
A Raider player.
You know, the NFL is investigating.
They're all dirty.
I know. The NFL is investigating it because, you know, the Raiders did have several players who had a who were at community events not wearing masks and not being socially distant. So, not a good thing. Not a good – the NFL is not going to be happy about this.
But I heard Waller throws a good party, though. That, you know, that's what's important.
Waller's a baller when it comes to partying.
Waller's the baller. You know, hey, makes a good margarita. So, hey, you're hockey.
Well, he's actually sober now, so maybe he makes it's a virgin margarita for or makes them for somebody else like Sam Malone and Cheers. Wouldn't that be crazy if this throws a wrench into a game involving the Chiefs again? So we're gonna be following this one a lot. So hopefully there's no more outbreak with the Raiders. We're gonna do a little bit of a new segment. This is gonna be the Locked and Loaded Best Bets section. You know,
the Mookie Betts.
The Mookie Betts in honor of the Dodgers.
That's right.
So Hector, right. Nico, you know, we a couple weeks ago, Hector did his best bets, went 3-1, and so Primo Nico is joining the fray here. So it's everybody knew Jimmy the Greek, so we got Nico and Hector the Mexicans. So
that's right. Let's go.
So Nico, to lead us off.
All right. So I will go into the tagline Nico Las Vegas. You know, that's my fantasy football. Also carries into this. Well, I'm going to do five picks, and I'm just going to give them away for free today. So it's going to be very, very exciting. And then Hector's going to come in with his five, and we'll see how we compare. And then we'll judge next week and see how we go. But real quick, my picks are, I have Tampa Bay over Chicago. They're 3.5-point favorites, but I think that the points, 3.5 is plenty for them to get 7, 8, maybe 10 points above them. So I'll go with Tampa Bay. Next one, I have Cleveland. They get 1.5. I think they're going to straight out win. I took them last week when they were 7.5-point underdogs or 4-point underdogs, and they did it. I think they're on fire now, and they found their zone. So even though Indy's there, I'm kind of surprised Indy gets so much credit, but, you know, I'll give them credit, but not that much. So Cleveland straight up on the money line, even though I get 1.5. Next one, Arizona. They let me down last week. I thought for sure they're 7-point favorites over the Jets. But as you guys were describing, the Jets are, they're junior, you know, junior varsity right now. So I think Arizona is going to take that one. Next, we have the Texans. A lot of times when you get rid of your coach, they tend to do better. I mean, I think everyone's like, you know, they had like, okay, everything's new. We're going to start this. We got rid of all the bad stuff. So it's going to start to go.
Do they though? Do they?
We shall see next week. We'll see how I go on that one, but they're 6-point favorites, but I think they're going to do more than that. And against the Jaguars, which Jaguars are hit or miss. So I could be totally upside down on this one, but you know, that's what I feel. And then the LA Chargers,
yay.
I like what they're doing, and 7.5 points is a lot. New Orleans just could be hit or miss, so I think it'd be a very high-scoring game. I would have done the points, but we're just doing spreads, so I'm going to take the Chargers plus 7.5. And those are Nico Las Vegas picks of the week.
Beautiful, beautiful.
The Houston one is an interesting call because, I mean, yeah, there is the narrative that teams are going to rally around the, you know, after the coaches left. And, you know, there was room, you know, there was unconfirmed report that Bill O'Brien and JJ Watt had quite a shouting match on Sunday after the game. So maybe they come out and play inspired. Maybe they actually play some defense.
Nope.
But six points seems like a lot. I see them winning, but in a field goal game.
Jags are going to win by 3. Sorry, bro.
that Cleveland one, though, I mean, the Cleveland, Indianapolis, both those teams love to run the ball. So that's going to be just a dogfight. That's
gonna
be,
one of them's that's got gonna, one of them's coming in the game limping. So
I know. Yeah, but limping with now Kareem Hunt is their lead back.
What about Johnson? Is Johnson chopped liver?
No, he's what? Not. I grabbed him. I grabbed him. I forget that.
Of course, you would waste a waiver on him.
No, actually, I grabbed Damian Harris in our Familia League. I did get Dearness okay. Johnson in a different league.
I just can't trust New England running backs.
The Tampa Bay game is the one I really like. I think Tom, I mean, he showed it up, and then Chicago, Nick Foles, I mean, I thought he was going to come in and just magic, man, but I don't know what happened there.
You know, the interesting thing is Chicago, I mean, this you know, Tom Brady may be the best, is easily the best quarterback that they've faced this season. They just really have not seen much of anything coming into the game. So
he saw Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Mateo Yellow.
That's right. I forgot about that. So, you know, that one's out. But, you know, the other one.
Carson Wentz, I mean.
Yeah. Wentz was, yo no sé. And then, so we're going to see what this one. Now, Nico, you're not worried about the fact that that there are a lot of receivers that are hurt in Tampa Bay?
You know what? Tom Brady tends to throw it. If you got six receivers, he throws all six. So
yeah.
If you lose two, he's just going to find out. And who knows? Gronk may even show up now. So
hey, grab Scotty Miller.
Is there it Miller go. Time?
It's Miller time.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Hey, did I drop him in our league? Dang it.
It may be because they just ruled out Justin Watson today. So it's like it's narrow. They ruled out Chris Godwin and Justin Watson, and Mike Evans is still banged up. I mean, he was limping around like crazy on Sunday after every play. So I haven't seen that in a long time. So, that Charger pick getting +7.5 points. That's a good line. I mean, I know they're banged up in the back on defense, but still that I like what Herbert's been doing. I think we all like what Herbert's been doing.
Yep. I think the over under is 55. When you start to get way up there, these 7 point spreads don't seem as nice. It's like not enough margin to, you know, offset it because you figure it's going to be a shootout.
I would love to hear Hector's picks so that I can pick at him.
Hector, all right, let's go then.
KC Raiders, KC favored by 13. I mean, they just took on the Pats to 26-10. They're just blowing everybody out. KC, I mean, it doesn't even matter what the spread is. Just always take KC. You know, so they're minus 13 against the Raiders. I just don't see, again, I see them just, it's another blowout. They are just playing as well as an NFL football team can play. I think they just set a record. They're the first team in NFL history for their three consecutive seasons. They've started 4-0. No one else has ever done that. They've done that. So they just don't know how to lose, and they're not going to lose. And they're just a well-oiled machine. Minus 13, I think they win by more than that. So take KC. Arizona against the Jets. We've talked about the Jets and Lev Bell and, you know, how the Jets are just a dumpster fire. Darnold's out. AZ -7. Take them. They will cover. Like Rick said, they are hungry. They got embarrassed last week. They're coming back. Kyler Murray and company are going to they're going to light up the Jets. It's going to be ugly.
And that bet confidently
on the Cardinals for sure. Pittsburgh, 7 point favorites over the Eagles. I'm just not impressed at all with what the Eagles are doing this year. Or I mean, even though they did win last week against the Niners, I almost see that game kind of like as a fluke. Their first few games that were just like terrible, and I like how Big Ben looks. I like Deontay Johnson is set to fire it up again. Yes, he's got a little bit of a toe injury, but there's not really any worry that he won't be in the starting lineup. So I see Pitt coming in and just lighting up the Jets and lighting up the Eagles rather, and just having a field day. Pittsburgh by 7, take the points. Giants are 10-point dogs against the Cowboys. I like the Giants here. I think they will. I think they'll cover that. I know the Cowboys are just going bananas right now. Their defense is trash. So I think that it wasn't there. I think I read an article that I think it was Troy Aikman. I think that said that if I was a player on the Dallas Cowboys right now, I would be embarrassed. That's how my defense is playing. Said something like that, which was like, wow. So I think the Giants, even though they haven't scored much this year, I think they'll. I think they'll cover there. And then Seattle is just – Russell Wilson's just putting up video game numbers. They're favored by 7 over the Vikings. I see them coming up big. I see DK Metcalf going bananas. I think he'll have 2 touchdowns this week. He's on my squad. So I am very hopeful that that happens. And I think Seattle wins by more than a touchdown for here. Take Seattle there, -7.
Wow.
I think all those are solid, except I think – I mean, people are starting to discount – the Vikings, when it's like, don't, they're still a good team. They still have all the same pieces. So
no, yeah, I don't disagree. I think they're a good team. They'll keep it close. I just think Seattle wins by probably 10, but you know, like 30-20, okay, or, you know, somewhere in there.
I was just telling you you're wrong, but that's okay.
Russell Wilson goes for 5 more touchdowns, man. How are they going to keep up with that? You can't.
When you pick some teams like that, they were big spreads. I mean, Philly was 7-point underdogs and they won. You know, Minnesota was like underdog and they won. And then, you know, the thing is, you don't know who's going to show up. And then the Cowboys, you don't know if the Cowgirls are going to show up or the Cowboys. You know?
Right.
You know, it's going to it'll be interesting. Those are good picks. And it's just a matter of who shows up. And it's crazy games. It's been fun to watch.
Yeah. You know, as bad as the Giants have played, you know, except for last week, I mean, they really played well on defense, but as badly as they've played on offense, I mean, I think this is going to be a game where Daniel Jones definitely comes back to life. Cause he last year he played well against the bad defenses, and I don't know what defense, you know, there've been a lot of bad defenses this year and Dallas is one of them. So, you know, I do like that both of you picked the Arizona game. So right. That one's pile on the Jets and betting, pile on the Jets when you're, you know, playing them and you know, got players against them in fantasy.
Yeah.
And so sit them out, KC. Well, let's hope that Stephon Gilmore doesn't have ramifications down the road. I mean, so
George, you like Danny Dimes, huh? You think he's going to come back, earn his name?
I think he's gotten really.
It's a great chance. It's a great platform for him too.
This is it. Like I looked at his big games last year, and they were all against bad defenses. So I mean, this is when if he doesn't do it this week, then I don't know when it's going to happen. Don't know when it's going to happen. That'll make it a fun game because when these two teams get in crazy games, then it's a blast. So nobody plays defense in this game.
Yeah. Yeah, the one game we didn't touch was, which should have been obvious, was the Rams over Washington. But I just don't know who the Rams are right now, you know?
Yeah, especially going back east for the third time in 4 weeks. That was, and if Chase Young.
We'll talk about them when we talk about them.
Well, let's get into some previews. So start off with Thursday night, tonight. Nico, I know you got some fun stuff to talk about this one. So we'll throw it to you. But, you know, Tom Brady was just fantastic last week. 5 touchdowns to 5 different receivers. It's looking like Leonard Fournette is doubtful. You know, they're using the whole game time decision on him, but you know, Ronald Jones had 20 carries last week and six additional receptions. So I think you can, you know, put him out there with confidence. The Bears have not been very good against the run. They've been better against the pass. So we'll see. We'll see. Mike Evans, keep an eye on him, on his availability. You know, he had that ankle that was banged, you know, and he just put it together. Just a heroic.
He's always limping.
It's like, yeah.
Baker.
It's like Julio. Julio does the same thing. You know, he comes, you know.
Julio's actually really old, so I can see that.
You know, Godwin's out, but yeah, definitely Scotty Miller's the guy to as long as he's banged up, but as long as he comes out, you know, as long as he's playing, I think he's going to be someone that Brady is looking for. And Nico, you already,
they got no OJ Howard.
Yeah. Nico, you already brought up Gronk as a possibility, and he did get 6 receptions the week before last, only 1 last week. So, this one could, you know, there could be some points on the board tomorrow night. Thursday nights are sneaky shootouts sometimes. And over on the Bears side, you know, are we going to see Nick Foles?
Yes, they're going to fall behind early. Therefore, I would fire up Foles and I would fire up Robinson. And I would doubt Montgomery because if Tampa Bay is going to have a good running defense. And because of that, I feel like they're going to fall behind early. Foles is going to have to throw a lot. Last week, he threw 42 times, connecting on 26 of them for almost 250 yards, but only 1 TD. I think Allen Robinson's going to show us why he was a top pick for a lot of people. And that's about it. Other than that, maybe you see Anthony Miller, Jimmy Graham always, you know, grabs 2 touchdowns here and there and no one picks him on their team. But other than that, I mean, I think Chicago's going to be playing for behind. So garbage time. And I mean, I love that sometimes when you can predict it.
I think we're going to go back to 2015 and you're going to see Gronk and Jimmy Graham just kill it. Pull in touchdown each. You know, 100 yards each. It's just going to be fantastic.
We'll be saying,
and this is also a rematch. This is also a rematch of the Super Bowl. Foles against Brady. So it should be a fun game to watch.
One thing, Ricky left out David Montgomery in there. And I think that actually was smart because the Buccaneers defense, their run defense is just stifling. I mean, they shut down McCaffrey last year twice. On the ground, he went crazy on the air. But when we look at that, I have Montgomery in a team on one of my teams, and I'm gonna play him, and I'm just gonna hold my nose that maybe he falls. You know, he gets a 1 yard run into the end zone. I'm not expecting
that. That for him means at I all. Gotta not play him because usually you make. Whenever I listen to your advice, it always backfires for me.
Well, I said I'm going to hold my nose. I'm not going to expect much from him. So.
But I know. I just have to do the opposite of what you do. Well, opposite of your action.
I have him in our group here in the Cuatro Primos Mexican restaurant, you know, over here. So hopefully he'll do well because I need it.
You need it.
I'm going to light the veladora for you. Now, not after you beat me last week. So, you know. yeah, Nico forever has my number.
There you go.
Hector, take us to Hotlanta.
Let's go to Hotlanta. This is going to be a shootout because Vegas said so. over under 54.5 points, which is a full 10 points higher than the over under for Tampa Bay Chicago.
Is it the highest of all the games?
This is, it's up there. We'll check it again. And but see, this is pretty high. I think anytime you have Atlanta playing, the over under is high, because there's going to be a lot of passing. And Robbie Anderson, you know, on the Carolina Panthers, is emerging as their number one receiver, to my chagrin, because I picked DJ Moore as my WR1. But Robbie Anderson last week, 11 targets, 99 yards. Look for him to score this week. I think he has emerged as Teddy B's favorite. You know, favorite child. You know, when you're a parent, you're not supposed to, you know, pick a favorite kid, but it's beginning to become clear that Teddy B is leaning on Robbie Anderson as his favorite kid.
He's looking
and
good.
Teddy, and Teddy B, you know, and as that happens, Teddy B is starting to kind of blossom as well. I dropped him a couple weeks ago to pick up Minshew Mania, but I think I'm okay with that. But I think Teddy B is kind of starting to emerge a little bit. Last week, 276 yards passing. Two scores in the air and then one score rushing. So he's put up some good fantasy numbers.
I think
numbers.
He likes where he is now, Heck. Yeah, he's on my team.
Whatever. And DJ Moore, I know why you picked him, Rick, because you got McCaffrey, and I know that's why you scooped him up.
I need
whatever.
Him for week seven, so.
Right. All right. Like I said, DJ Moore, only six targets last week in a pass-heavy game last week. So I'm definitely holding my breath a little bit. Hopefully DJ Moore has a good return game this week. Again, there's going to be a lot of passing. Balls are going to be flying all over the place. even throw Curtis Samuel in there. I wouldn't fire up Curtis Samuel there. You know, maybe as a flex play if you really need it, but he'll get his share as well. Maybe a deep play or a good run after catch or something like that to get some extra points. But he's also in play only because this is going to be such a pass fest. On the Atlanta side, they have Matt Ryan, which, you know, Mateo Yellow, Matty Ice. And whenever there's a game like this, Carolina's defense is not good, full of rookies. So I think Matt Ryan, and as the KG or Wiley veteran that he is, I think he'll definitely take advantage of that and find his guys. Even if Julio Jones doesn't play, he's still got Calvin Ridley and Russell Gage on his squad. I think those guys are going to just run all over these rookies in Carolina's defense there. So look for Matt Ryan to have a very good game. Look for Teddy B to have a pretty decent to above average game, high scoring, just like Vegas is promising us. So it should be good.
Do you like Gurley, or would you say start investing in Hill?
Oh man, that is I don't know. I mean, Todd Gurley did go for two scores last week. So as long as he's got the hot hand, as long as
so what? Jordan Howard got a touchdown too the other week, but
he had two touchdowns. That means that they're confident in him, especially
Dobbins
at the goal
had
line.
Two touchdowns week one.
That's it's true. Just... But he is Todd Gurley, so that I think they're gonna give him the job until he loses it. So I don't know. I'd probably still fire up Todd Gurley here. Again, Carolina's defense is trash. So yeah, fire up Todd Gurley. Go for it.
Nico, is Mike Davis now an every week starter for you?
He's not on mine.
Well, he's not on you, but I mean, would you consider? Yeah, Raul, yeah. Since you have him in, if I'm, you know, since you and Raul are brothers.
I think so. I mean, I think it's going to start to change, but I mean, Bridgewater, I don't know what he's going to end up doing, but I liked him. I thought he killed it in New Orleans when he kind of filled in. Yep, so yep. He's comfortable now. That was a good game for him. And I think he's back. So, yeah. I think Davis will take them in. It's just a matter. It's like, you know, you've got a good squad. So who's going to get it this week, you know?
Yeah, Teddy B, yeah, I hope he has a big week. I'm firing up on one of my leagues where I have Matthew Stafford as my starter. So I'm very happy to put him into a shootout.
There you go.
So, Ricky, we're Buffalo at Tennessee.
The unbeatens. Tennessee, I think you're definitely going to – they're going to have to rely on the air game, because Buffalo is just going to be a strong defense. And what they're bringing to the table is a lot of points and yards with Josh Allen. This last week was his worst week of the year, and that was still 288 yards, two touchdowns, completing two thirds of his passes, and including a rush TD. So I think no matter what, Tennessee is going to be playing from behind. So they're not going to be able to rely on Derrick Henry, who last week got two really quick touchdowns. I believe they're like back-to-back. So I don't think he's going to be able to be that sneaky this week. This week they're going to have to rely on the pass. And if they're lucky, A.J. Brown's back and playing hard, because I don't think Corey Davis is playing this weekend due to the fact that he's on the COVID list for working out and doing other stuff he shouldn't be doing. So this is definitely going to be a Jonnu Smith, A.J. Brown game where it's going to have to be garbage time or catch-up time. because Buffalo with Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, they're just going to torch this Tennessee team. Tennessee's defense been mediocre, top 10 somewhat, but Buffalo's just been nonstop. And the only way to really catch up with them is to throw. We've seen that with Fitzpatrick having to do it. So Tannehill's really going to have to do what he did last week and throw for another 300 yards. However, he's going to need to do more because Josh Allen's just incredible this week. And Devin Singletary, hopefully, I still don't see it. I still don't see this running game doing anything because everything runs through Josh Allen. He's scoring all the rushing touchdowns. Singletary, thank God, last week saved you by getting a touchdown. Otherwise, he only got 55 yards, 21 rushing, so it's horrible. Zach Moss, thank goodness he's not playing. That's the only reason Singletary is even still viable. But other than that, John Brown, Stephon Diggs, light him up because Josh Allen's definitely going to want to get over 300 yards this game.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee side, yeah, just Jonnu Smith and A.J. Brown are the only hopefuls. Other than that, I mean, Derrick Henry's Derrick Henry, but he's
automatic.
The game flow is not going to be in his direction, in his favor.
I mean, A.J. Brown, it's still not 100% that he's back from that bone bruise. So we won't know until they get back into the building. But fingers crossed. I've got him on a couple teams where I need him to come back. Josh Allen.
That's right.
Nico, don't you have him?
I do. I have him, and I also have Stephon Diggs. So that's always
nice. Oh, stacked
them. That's right. That stack. And they're going to go crazy this week. You know, I think they are going to go crazy this week because Tennessee's secondary is not very good.
Nope.
Yeah, and the thing about this with the Tennessee game, and I don't think anyone's really talked about it, but there's got to be some kind of, stress on the COVID part because they all talk about getting hurt and all that. But these guys have got to be scared, especially these linemen, of catching it. And if you're playing the team that, you know, they've got 24 guys that have had it and, you know, playing for each, you know, with each other or against, it's got to have to kind of mess with your mind a little bit. I mean, even though they're tough football players, you know, they got to be worried about getting sick and they're playing players and every time the sweat hits or whatever. So there's that little bit of fatigue from just mm-hmm. the stress of getting the.
Man, they're still going to clubs. They're not scared of it. Come on. Maybe the Brett Favre's of the league, Nico, but. No, the Corey Davises are still working out with their homies or the other guys eating chicken wings at strip clubs. They do not care.
Ain't nothing but a thing.
And though, they better make sure the NFL doesn't find out because there could be issues.
As they should. They need to get a bubble, but that's another news.
That's later. That'll probably happen like week 7, week 8. There'll probably be a bubble.
I wonder if there'll be a bubble in the playoffs, kind of like they're doing in baseball. Where they'll just be like, okay, you know, whoever the highest seeded team, okay, the bubble is there, and then it's gonna be strange. Nothing short of strange, guys.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna take us to KC, where the unbeaten Chiefs are 13 point favorites. And Ricky, you asked if that was the biggest over under earlier. This is actually one of the bigger. This is even bigger. 56.5, the over under.
See, but I don't think this one will actually be that high.
I don't think so.
I think Vegas will poop the bed and Kansas City will just be like, all right, we got a nice lead.
Let's KC will control the clock a little bit more. I think just because you have Pat Mahomes and a high explosive KC offense, that doesn't mean they're gonna score quickly. I think they know Josh Jacobs is over there and they're gonna think control the clock a little bit more, and I think the scoring will be a little bit lower than that.
And that's the interesting part. I mean, you know, people have been talking about how Josh Jacobs has not done well since his first game where he got the 3 touchdowns, has not scored, and he only had 48 yards last week, though his targets are still consistently 4 to 6. He got 4 last week and 25 yards. But, the way for the Raiders to do anything this week is going to have to be with Josh Jacobs controlling the clock and keeping the ball away from Patrick Mahomes, because when they get it, the Raiders secondary is green. And so that means Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, CEH, when he comes out of the backfield, they're going to see a lot of green in front of them. I don't know. I actually think Mecole Hardman is a play this week. He's been a lot of people have been, I have to play him in a league with four.
I guess my team's flexes. Just so stacked. I can't imagine just playing a McCall
deeper Hardman. Leagues. Deeper leagues.
But I guess our league's pretty deep. But I agree. I think when you look at this team, I think CEH is going to definitely have to step up, because you know what? They'll come out to a nice little lead, and CEH is going to be expected to really just let it ride out.
Yeah. How are you getting some of those trades? You got information on people. I know it. I know what's going on. So.
On your brother, the cop? Of course I don't.
Exactly. one thing I want to talk about was the KC. They're a second half team. They always come back. How many double digit numbers down did they come back and end up winning the game? You know, besides just the Super Bowl. You know,
they did it in both their playoff games.
Yeah, so they do that all the time. New Orleans and Kansas City are famous for just big, big second halves. Not the first half, but big second halves. And you can almost bet against them on the first half if you do it that way. But they always seem to come back and just kill it. I mean, they'll have four touchdowns in a quarter, I think, was one. It's like something insane. So
I wouldn't be excited to fire up Josh Jacobs, but you kind of have to at this point if you have him. Yeah. But he's not hitting the marks you want him to. And I don't think this is going to be the week where he breaks out. Maybe because it's, you know, interdivisional, but no. Other than that, I don't know. I just don't have trust in Derek Carr. But you know what? They've been able to do it. But Kansas City is just on fire. And I don't know. It's hard to see anyone put up good numbers against them.
I can't see. The only one I can see doing anything is Josh Jacobs. The Chiefs have been great against the passing game. They have not been good. They've been okay against the running game. I mean, Damian Harris did get, you know, gash him for 100 yards last week. So that's the way to keep things down. But no, I agree. I think KC covers. I don't know if they get to that. I don't know if this game gets to the over, though. So, one thing to note, Henry Ruggs, he returned to practice after missing the last couple games. So something to watch. Maybe they add that speed dimension back to their passing game. You never know. But other than that, fire up your Chiefs. Ricky, you've been teasing us about this game in Jersey.
My mouth's watering just thinking about it. Arizona 2-2. At the New Jersey Jets, 0-4. I say that because they are in New Jersey, people. But anyways, Arizona's got the spread by 7. They're going to tear this team up because Arizona's the type of team that is just going to rack it on you. Score, like, get a bunch of points, especially because they are mad after coming off a 31-21 upset over Carolina, a team that everyone says, and Georgie already said it, team full of rookies. And it's like, I don't know. I think Carolina's their defense is a little bit stronger than we think. These boys are a lot more, what do you call it? They're ready to play. So don't give up on Carolina. But anyways, Arizona needs to come back from this. Being 2-2 with the prospects they have, there's no way that they just barely beat the Jets. So expect Murray to do more than the 211 yards he got last week. Because he got 133 throwing with 3 touchdowns and 78 yards on the floor. He's definitely going to do a lot more in each category this game. It's going to be a high-scoring one if Carolina can catch up. So it'll be fun to watch. I would say definitely go for the over. Arizona should be able to win by 2 touchdowns, but maybe the Jets can – I don't know. Never mind. Now that I'm looking at it, the Jets aren't going to do anything. It's just going to be Arizona all the way. Hopefully, I saw Carolina for a minute. I was like, wait. But no, I mean, look for Hopkins to get like 15 catches and maybe 17 targets because he's that lethal. Start looking into Drake, whether Drake's real right here. He's got a nice, easy team to kind of flaunt and really see if he's real. If he sits out with injury, if he doesn't get the ball as much, then I think it's going to prove to us that the Cardinals just do not want to go through him. They want to go through Murray the way the Bills are going through Josh Allen. So if that's the case, uh-oh, Drake owners. On the New Jersey side, there's nothing to talk about. Like, nothing. Flacco's going to be in. Le'Veon Bell's back in. Do you guys even start Le'Veon Bell if you own him?
Nope.
I don't think so.
Anyone? No?
Nico?
I have him, and I don't know what to do.
No, I think right. He's on my 2019 bench. I think I got some.
And yeah, even with Crowder, it's Flacco. I don't know what Flacco has. So Crowder are these his total for the year or for last week? This 104 yards.
The Crowder, that was last week.
So good for him, but he doesn't have the same guy. It's a totally different team. They're definitely going to need to throw to somebody and get garbage time. So maybe Crowder you can look at in like a DFS, but you shouldn't put him in your general league because it's a real big risk. But other than that, hopefully Arizona just throws the ball everywhere, just tears them up. I don't see them taking their foot off the gas pedal. They can't. They were embarrassed last week.
Anyone worried about Kenyon Drake? I think
I own him. I own Edmonds too. So I mean, I have both of these guys, but I mean, I'm worried about what to do this week because I mean, if he's injured, then that's an easy call. Like I can just bench him. But I mean, I'm definitely worried. After what he did last year, you know, I picked him, you know, pretty early in the draft, and he's just not done much of anything this year. So I'm definitely worried. It seems like something's up, like something wrong with him. Like,
yeah, he did well when he was running scared when he was trying to get the position. It's kind of like all the guys at the Niners. 49ers are all competing and they're just going like crazy. So, you know, now that he's got it, it's like, dude, you know, you can lose it. So do something.
Exactly. Show us.
I did get the thought of, remember he was in a walking boot like a couple weeks before the season started. Yeah. And I was just like, I wonder if there's something lingering there. I just don't know. But I think Kyler Murray would be one of the guys that I'd be looking at having a big week this week.
I'll take Drake from you.
Yeah. No,
this was a double pick.
Offer me McCaffrey. Maybe go trade.
Yeah, both Hector
Drake and Keenan Arizona. Allen for McCaffrey.
Both Hector and I picked Arizona. Nope. So this is what we call a double spoonie. So
double spoonies. That's right, double spoonie lock.
That's right.
Oh, you gotta love it. Ay, mijo. Hector, take us to Pittsburgh.
All right, so I'm still trying to figure out who are the receivers on the Eagles. They're 1-2 and 1, which is like a bad sign when you have to mention that third number, which is a tie, which is never good in anything officially professional. So you tied, the game finished, and they had a tie. That's not good. Pittsburgh's 3-0. What we've seen of Big Ben has been fantastic. The guy... He was a little bit rusty for like a quarter and a half week one. And after that, he's just been gangbusters. Last game, week three versus Houston, 237 yards, 2 touchdowns, going 23 for 36. Connor is healthy, 109 that last game. So they've had like a week off essentially to rest up and be ready to go. Deontay Johnson's out of concussion protocol, which is thrilling to me because he's on my squad. I'm going to fire him up for sure. And again, Pittsburgh is favored by 7. We talked about that. I see Pittsburgh just running it up all over Philadelphia. I just don't see Philadelphia having much of anything. Wentz last week, 193 yards, 1 TD, 1 pick. Yes, he ran for a TD, but because he has to. The guy's running for his life. DeSean Jackson, he just returned to practice Wednesday. Alshon Jeffrey, you know, these guys are just banged up. Yes, Zach Ertz is on the team. He has a great name as far as fantasy goes. Last week, 5 catches for 9 yards. So
is he out of the top 5 from now on? Top 5 tight ends?
Yeah, I think so.
Philly's offense is just terrible. I mean, you know, so Pittsburgh, they're going to run. They're going to just kill them. I mean, and don't forget, they still have Juju over there. Chase Claypool is emerging. I mean, you know, 4 catches, 24 yards. Keep your eye on him. And they have James Washington. I mean, Pittsburgh just has so many weapons. And they're the complete opposite of Philly. Like, these are just like, you know, these are two complete opposites. Like, you know, a tale of two cities. You know, Philly's got just no weapons, no receivers. And Pittsburgh's got, like, too many. Juju, Deontay, Chase Claypool, James Washington, Eric Ebron. They have all these receivers, all these targets that Big Ben can throw to and just keep Philly's defense just, you know, ripping their hair out. And so we're going to see that. Connor's going to get his. He's going to run all over the place and, you know, keep again. So Philly's defense is already going to be going bananas with all the receivers that Pittsburgh has. And then Connor's just going to just nail in the coffin, just go run wild. So, yeah, I can see Philly's defenders just maybe quitting at halftime and just leaving and just saying, I give up. It's going to be that kind of game. So be ready. Pittsburgh's is going to eat them up.
I look at Miles Sanders as possibly being the only, well, him and Ertz being the only guys you want to fire up. But I mean, Sanders, it's just because of volume. Ertz, it's the name. You got to figure he's got to get something. But man, I mean, the Pittsburgh defense is so good. And, you know, you guys were talking about them being so loaded. Philadelphia is probably hoping that like Chase Claypool or James Washington take a wrong turn and go into their locker room.
Right,
and
then exactly. They suit up.
Because either one of them would be their number one receiver, just, you know, coming off the
easily.
Interesting thing, Eric Ebron, who really hasn't emerged. He did get a touchdown in week three. But you got to remember, Kittle just destroyed the Philly defense last week. Yep. So maybe they find something with the tight end.
Kittle down the middle
all day. Nico, you got anybody you like in anybody else you want to like in this game?
You know, I have Zach Ertz, and with Ertz it hurts, you know, because I want to play him, but it's like, you know, he's the favorite child. Like,
no one's playable on that team.
It's just kind of like, no, I mean, I mean, I like Pittsburgh all day. I think they're going to come back and just kind of kill it. I think everyone wants to shine because who knows if the season's going to end. But, you know, who knows?
And you got to play Sanders because, you know, you probably spent the lowest a second round pick.
He's not going to get anything, though. He's not getting – yeah, you have to play him. I thought you meant Philadelphia has to play him. They're going to, but they're not going to play him that much.
Yeah, I mean, that's a no-brainer. I'll do that. And the thing about with him is, like, you know, I'll play him in there. Hopefully he doesn't get hurt. And then I picked up Scott as my handcuff because
– Boston Scott, yeah.
He's my best running back right now.
The problem isn't the running back. The problem is the team.
But they could be a really good team. I mean, if you thought about them at the beginning.
But it's like I don't get the point of having Scott if it's like even if Miles Sanders is injured, you're still going to get garbage.
Well, you know what?
He still plays for Philly.
Philly is in first place in their division. Did you know that?
Well, they're not. Yeah, they are.
Are they really?
Because of the tie. they're a half game in first place. Can you believe that? Yeah, you got both. Washington has a win.
All the teams
Dallas
are
has
lose
a
this
win,
week too.
And the Giants are winless. So
that's yeah. Right.
Well, let's go to Washington. I'll take us to Washington. Rams 3-1 at Washington 1-3. The Rams are 7-point favorites, 45.5 over under. I was really feeling good about the Rams, and then just last week they were basura. Their offense just had no rhythm to it. The running game wasn't. I mean, they just looked like they were. I don't know if they just had.
They still won.
They still won, but they just just didn't. I almost felt worse about them after the win than I did after that big comeback that they had and almost beat the Buffalo Bills. But the Rams are going to, I still think the Washington's defense, especially their secondary, is so bad that the Rams will be able to be playable. Woods and Kupp will be able to do what they want. I mean, I could see Higbee coming back, but the one thing they got to do a better job of controlling the line of scrimmage, especially if Chase Young comes back, because he's been just a man child out there.
Oh yeah,
the games that before he was hurt last week. So if he's
so, do you pass on all the running game for the Rams then?
Oh, I still remember 2 weeks ago when Daryl Henderson did whatever he wanted to.
That was one game.
Yeah.
I have Daryl Henderson and Akers. What do I do, Georgie? Do I put either of them in?
I think it's Henderson. I think you give Henderson one more shot.
Okay, I'll do that. I like that one more shot. Even though it never works for you, I'll do it.
and on the Washington side, Kyle Allen, new QB. I think you fire up the Ram defense on this one because they've been balling out. The Washington offensive line has not been very good. You just look at it. I think Allen's going to throw a couple of picks. The interesting part though is Antonio Gibson getting those little dump offs that Allen did so much to Christian McCaffrey last year. That could be interesting. And Ricky, you already pointed out DJ Moore Terry McLaurin in the DJ Moore role.
It'll be exciting to see. I had a scary Terry in a bunch of leagues. Fought to get him because I just love him. So was it last week he went 10 for 14, 118 yards, correct?
That's right. That's right.
So I feel like that should be his new average. His floor has now been increased with Kyle Allen because Kyle Allen's less likely to run than Haskins. And Kyle Allen's still going to make pocket mistakes. Yeah. He's still going to make mistakes, but they'll be less often. And it's the same coach, Ron Rivera. So they have the some stuff still going to be similar. So he should be able to slide in somewhat nicely. He's not a rookie anymore. So I'm interested to see what he does and to see if Logan Thomas, who just pooped the bed last week. And that's what was weird. The only person to do good last week besides Scary Terry was Haskins. But the team did bad. I still think Gibson did bad rushing. Like, you never want your running back to only get 46 yards. Logan Thomas did bad. And that's why Haskins had to go. The team direction wasn't good. So I hope Kyle Allen can spread the ball, help basically create running lanes for Gibson because he can do that. And I think it'll happen. I hope it happens sooner than later.
All right. All right. Well, everybody, well, we thank Primo Nico for joining us.
Thank you, Nico.
Gracias, señor.
Eso es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor.fm for being our hosting network and making sure Independent Podcast gets out into you guys, the familia community. Please subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, as well as find us on Spotify and Google. And remember, keep following us on Twitter and Instagram. Check out our FamiliaFFB.com website and our FamiliaFFB Facebook page. Gracias, everybody. And remember, exercise your right to vote.
Go vote.
Go vote.
Because todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos.
Salud.